Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And Joe at RT.ie. It was 2007 when our next caller, Joe Ford, contacted her us about her sister. It was her foster sister, but she regarded her and still does as her full sister, Linda Christian. And Joe was looking for help for Linda. This is an extract of what Joe said to me just over 10 years ago about her sister, Linda.
Anna, has there been help in the past?
Not particularly, to be perfectly honest.
Did your parents look for help in the past? Do you know?
My parents have been screaming and writing letters and making phone calls for years, and nothing has ever been done. Nothing's ever followed through. You know, the social services start off with something, but never quite see it through to the end. You know, so at the moment, as I said, she's in Mountjoy Prison.
And who put her in? How did she get to Mountjoy?
Well, my parents took out a barring order against her a few weeks ago.
Why?
Because she was verbally abusive and had been calling the guards to say that my dad had hit her or my brother had hit her or whatever, mm-hmm. and they never had. So the guards were, you know, coming out back and forth and saying, look, there really wasn't a whole lot that they could do either. So it got to the stage where social services came in and took her down to the local hospital to be reassessed. And while there, the hospital decided that, no, actually, she's just a bold child. There's nothing really wrong with her at all. Now, they have her on drugs for psychosis. So if they have her on those drugs, how is she just a bold child? You know?
But the barring order came from?
The barring order came, my dad, after this incident where she was hurling abuse at everybody over mm-hmm. the phone call and left the house and what have you, they then decided that was the only course of action that they could take, you know, that the only way to get her help maybe was to put her back mm-hmm. in the care of social services. So when they had her down at the hospital, my parents changed the locks on the doors, packed up all her belongings and delivered them down to mm-hmm. social services and basically said, she's your responsibility now. We physically can't do anything more. You know, we're at the stage where we've been fighting for years and years and years. You aren't doing anything to help. We're forcing your hand on us. You have to do something now. On Friday, she was taken into the social services department. She had been living in a B&B. Sorry, they had put her into a B&B and were paying for it until they found her somewhere else to live. And she had a fight with somebody else in the B&B on Thursday night. The guards were called and she was removed to a police station where she spent the night in a cell. Social services then collected her from the police station on the Friday morning and took her to their offices and did a ring around to try and find her somewhere. My sister then decided that no, she was just going to go home. She didn't really want any of this happening on. She really wasn't bothered. She was going home. That was the end of it, and left. And social services' opinion was, well, she walked out, so tough.
And Joe Ford is with us again. Joe, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Good. What has happened, Linda?
Well, she went missing from... Well, since that conversation that I had with you back then, we did eventually get the HSE to listen. And she would have been... She spent time in Brendan's, in the mental health section in there. She was under the care of an absolutely amazing doctor in there who understood her, I think, and understood what she needed. She was eventually diagnosed not just with the psychosis, but with schizophrenia, and was then medicated for that. So over the years, I think since last talking to you guys, my dad passed away in 2008, and that really sent Linda out of control. She wouldn't come to the funeral despite us all, you know, saying, look, we'll come and pick you up, you know, we'll take you, you know, we'll mind you. She just couldn't. She couldn't deal with the fact that he wasn't around. And she ended up in Brendan's for 6 months in a psychotic state off the back of that. Just the, you know, it hit her so hard. But as I said, she did make improvements. She got to the stage where, I suppose, from a maturity point of view, she understood herself when she needed help. So, you know, she was in touch with Mum pretty much every day. She'd ring and, you know, send a message, you know, or whatever. And then on a particular day, she might ring and say, do you know what, Mum, not feeling great. I'm just going to go down and check myself in to usually Blanchardstown, because she was eventually housed in an apartment in Ongar in Dublin 15. So she was always local to us, you know, we would have seen her all the time. But yeah, so she always knew. She got to that stage from a maturity point of view, and because she was medicated, she knew when she might have just needed a little bit more help. She'd check herself in, you know, she'd be in for a week or two, and she'd always ring Mum and say, listen, I'm checking in and I'll give you a buzz when I'm out again. And usually then she'd be in touch when she ran out of cigarettes or needed something. You know, but the last time that she was in a hospital was 2 years ago, when she left on day release on the June the 18th, and unfortunately, she was killed on that same day.
And when did you realise that that she was missing?
The hospital, because she would have been in Blanchardstown Hospital, and Mum would have been her next of kin. So they rang, the hospital rang my mum on the Saturday to say that she hadn't come back into the facility.
Okay.
And, you know, but they weren't worried. That was their words. They weren't worried. You know, Mum said, well, you know, I'll try ringing her. They were looking to see, had Mum maybe another number for her? Which she hadn't. She had the same number that they had. And then my understanding is on the Sunday, the Blanchardstown Hospital rang Blanchardstown Garda Station to report her missing because she hadn't come back again. And then they just rang, Mum rang them, sorry, and they informed her that they had discharged her from their services because she'd failed to return.
And when did you go to the Gardaí?
So Mum would have made the initial contact with the guards. We think it was the Monday morning. Again, we're talking 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So the dates wouldn't be 100%. But I would be, Mum would be fairly sure that it was the Sunday evening stroke Monday morning that she would have made first contact with Blanchardstown, just to say that, you know, she was very worried. She hadn't been in contact. It wasn't like Linda. For starters, the hospital, the guard who she spoke to in Blanchardstown at one point said, well, you know, the hospital aren't worried about her. They said she's done this before. And Mum said, absolutely not. Yes, she went missing, but only ever from A&E. But, I mean, you know, if you've ever been in A&E, Joe, you could be there for 10 hours.
Mm.
You know, and it would have been that she just, you know, would have decided, no, I just can't sit here anymore. So she would have left. But never, ever, ever in our experience has she ever gone missing from the psychiatric unit of anywhere.
Did the Gardaí take it seriously enough, in your view, at that stage, given our history?
No, absolutely not. I had a meeting with... Sorry, Linda would have collected a social welfare payment on the Wednesday.
Okay.
But she didn't collect it.
Always a very worrying sign for someone in difficulty.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, it was something that we, Mum had said to them before, look, she's due to collect the payment on the Wednesday. You know, it might be prudent for you guys to send somebody to where she would collect it from, just to see, one, if it's collected by her or collected by anybody. And it was a case of, oh, yeah, we'll do that. You know, it was kind of flippant was the word that I would use. You know, there was no seriousness. It was just like, listen, she'd be grand. You know, I was told by... a guard myself, when I went down to they asked us if we could give them any further information that we had received through our Facebook appeals and through, you know, appeals that we had made between friends and family, you know, into the city centre, posters and that. You know, we had flyers done up. We had people she'd gone to school with providing posters for us and saying they were heading into town. You know, and off the back of that, you know, we were getting, people were contacting us and saying, listen, you know, I know this or I know this. And we were passing it on to the guards, be it significant or not. And then they asked us to print everything out and bring it down, which I did. And the guards that I met with said to me very clearly, you know what, Joe, it's like this. If it was you or your mum missing, yeah, this would be really serious. Yeah. But like, it's Linda. She'll turn up. She's probably at a party.
And when were her remains found? Was there a massive search launched at any stage?
As massive search, I'm going to say that in those first couple of weeks, the only ones looking were us, us family and friends. She was found on the 17th of July. It was a Monday in the afternoon. And it was in an area within Dublin 15 that's within walking distance from the Blanchardstown Garda Station. It was an area that it's very much high traffic walking through. I have no idea how she wasn't found, you know, before, why it took 3 weeks and 2 days. Because, you know, we had very extreme weather 2 summers ago. It was either absolutely scorching hot, and then there was torrential rain. So you can imagine a body out for that length of time, and as horrific as it is to think,
and
there was a smell.
So her second anniversary is fast approaching. Is there any indication of, one, when she died, when Linda died, and how she died?
We don't know, and we don't know.
But the Gardaí are treating it as a murder case.
They are.
Yeah.
Correct, yeah. You're saying that the anniversary is approaching. Yes, it is. But actually, we as a family would recognise the day she went missing as the anniversary.
Oh, would you?
We do, yeah, we do. And again, that's something that...
So the anniversary has passed. Her second anniversary.
In our opinion, yeah. Has passed. Was on June 19th, yes. But the anniversary of the day that she was, or the 24th, sorry, the day that she was found, July 17th, would be what I suppose everybody else would recognise as her anniversary.
It's incredible. Really, and you regard her, and I noticed that even when you contacted us looking for help for her over 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Linda was your sister in every sense.
Absolutely.
Not your blood sister, but yeah.
She might as well have been, Joe. You know, I mean, she came to live with us at a year and a month, and, I mean, she was absolutely gorgeous as a kid. She was so cute. You know, she was funny. She had a fantastic, witty sense of humour. You know, she just slot in, you know. I mean, Mum and Dad were foster parents, so we'd always had kids. Like, we used to laugh and joke. You'd come home and you never knew when there was a bag in the hall whether somebody was coming or going, you know, whether we were going to be introduced to our newest brother or sister. That's just how it was for us growing up. But we, you know, we loved them all as our siblings.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and she would have been one of the last of what we would call the long-term foster care, in that she initially came to us just on a short-term basis. But I'd say within weeks, we were, you know, begging, could we please keep her? And then, you know, Mum and Dad followed the process to take her on a long-term basis. So, yes, she went to the same schools that all of us went to. You know, she had exactly the same opportunities. You know, we fought like every sibling does in a very normal way. You know, she was. But, you know, I think what's really important for people to realise is that she was a person, you know, and she deserves justice. We deserve it.
And because with the delay, you believe it was between 2 years ago, between June 24th, which is over a week ago, and July 17th, which is next Friday week, because Linda's remains lay there, you believe vital forensic evidence has been lost as well.
Well, we believe that. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you think about it, extreme weather, heat and cold and rain, I do believe that had the guards reacted sooner and had gone searching sooner and found her sooner, that evidence that was not there 3 weeks and 2 days later may possibly have been there on the day that she went missing, subsequent days after that.
And are the Gardaí in touch with the family liaison officers? I see in the article in the Sunday World by Patrick O'Connell that there's two. The Gardaí say we've two family liaison officers working on this with the family.
Well, not that I'm aware of. Again, I want to make it very clear, Joe, that there has been two particular members of the Garda that were absolutely amazing.
Okay,
As soon as they came on onto the case, but that was 2 weeks after that they got involved. They have been amazing. They've been amazing with Mum, you know, who really, really is struggling. And they've been fantastic. And one of them would have made regular phone calls to Mum, but both have been promoted and both no longer work in Blanchardstown Station. So we're not in touch with either of them, like we would have been when they were on the case. And as for a family liaison, we haven't had a family liaison ourselves since the start of this. It could have even been December when one of the guys was promoted out. We haven't been given a new family liaison. So no, that is correct information, and that incorrect information even, in that we've not had any family liaison since the end of last year, stroke early this year.
Were you worried for her before she disappeared?
Do you know what? Several people have actually asked me that, and it's something that I think I'm going to speak absolutely for both my sisters, my brother, and my mum when I say we would have been worried about her every day from the day she came to live with us.
Okay.
Because, you know, even when she was so young, she would have had, like, meltdowns, what we would call the meltdowns, you know. And again, I have kids myself, you know, and their tantrums would be nothing in comparison to the tantrum that Linda could throw.
Yeah.
But amazingly, you know, within minutes, that would be it. It would be done and dusted, and it'd be forgotten about, and it would just be back to Linda being the hilarious kid that she was. You know, but when she had a meltdown, she had a meltdown. You know, and it's terrible to say, when we were fighting for all of that help from the HSE, you know, it would have been something that we would have kind of thought, God, are we going to at some point get a phone call to say something has happened to her? Because she wasn't getting the support. I mean, if you look back on the conversation I had with you back in 2007, you know, it took a long time after that for us to get her the help. You know, and even at that stage, she needed the help in her very, you know, early teens to deal with how she was feeling. You know, can you imagine living with those, you know, psychosis and schizophrenia undiagnosed and unmedicated? You know, she struggled a lot in her own headspace. So, you know, it would have been something we used to manage her. That's probably the best way of explaining how we all grew up. You know, yes, she was one of us, but there was times when, you know, she was managed by us.
Yeah. Like,
you know, you'd have to talk her into a good mood nearly sometimes, you know. But that's, you know, that's what we grew up with.
That's so not unknown in families. And
Absolutely. And again, you know, it's just one of those things that's part of our life.
She was 29, so young when she was killed. The Gardaí just to reiterate, the Gardaí do believe she was murdered.
They do believe she was murdered.
Okay. So that's why it should be of much greater national importance. 2 years, the second anniversary of the discovery of the body of young Linda. And as you say, last week was the second anniversary, you believe, of her actual murder.
Yeah.
And you're saying you've no family liaison officer at the moment. When's the last time you heard anything from the Gardaí? Your family did, your mother did, Joe. When did you find...
We would have had regular meetings every couple of months. We would have been, because Mum lives down the country, so she would have come up and we would have had a meeting with the two members of An Garda Síochána who were kind of running the case as such. And as I said, I can't say enough of them. They were amazing. And those two particular people would have, you know, invited us up, would have sat Mum and myself down and given us updates, albeit sometimes there was nothing to update, but just so that we felt that they were doing something. And we do believe that they were. But we're now, you know, there's a different team on there now, and we haven't had communication. I made a phone call myself to Blanchardstown a couple of weeks ago to speak to the person running the case at the moment. And I did have a conversation there, you know, and I just said, look, you know, where are we at? And the conversation I had was that person was going to give me a call back before they went on annual leave, and they didn't call me back.
Okay, well, let's and you're tireless. Your whole family are tireless, and obviously have been for day one day one looking after Linda, and now you find yourself in a different phase. You're actually tireless in your campaign to try and get justice for Linda,
absolutely,
who has been murdered.
Yeah, absolutely.
What a difficult situation. Joe, kind regards to you and your mum. May Linda rest in peace. And hopefully this will, because I know that's your intention, this will encourage the powers that be to actually make every
somebody
effort.
Somebody just needs to react. Yeah,
her short life, 29 years, and at times a difficult life, as you said, a short and difficult life, but she deserves justice and the family deserves justice as well. Joe Ford, thanks indeed. Thanks, Joe.
Thanks, Joe. Cheers, Joe. Thank you.
Bye-bye.